Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. The show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Monday and Thursday evening, 7 and 7:30, respectively. Times are subject to change. You can also pick up the show on our flagship platform called Podomatic, podomatic.com, as well as Spotify, Amazon, iHeart, and I think about a half a dozen other platforms. It's brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp. We have a weekend retreat. Now, our ladies' retreat has come and gone. In fact, I'm recording this a couple of days ahead of time on a Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday, but it already come and gone. The ladies' retreat starts, it will be April 12th, and it ends Sunday, so Friday to Sunday. And we have a very busy weekend, and that's why I'm doing this show a little in advance. Usually I do it Monday mornings. Tomorrow morning, I'm heading up to Maine to participate in the Homeschoolers of Maine and their annual convention. And I've been involved with their conventions for many, many years. The COVID lockdown in 20 to 22. And last year I was scheduled, but I think I had a terrible cold or something. It was a short time, but I couldn't make it. But this year I'll be there, and I'll also be one of the presenters. I'm presenting a class on the U.S. presidents. And I'll be recording that, videotaping it. And it's the first time I was asked to do some type of interactive class. And I thought, yeah, it'd be great to do a little understanding of Article 2 of the Constitution and how presidents are elected, and then their powers and duties, which are relatively limited. And then go into some presidential history, some interesting facts and figures. It's not really trivia when it comes to the president. When it comes to sports, yeah, sports is sort of trivia. But when it comes to history, it's not really. But it's interesting facts of how many persons have been impeached, how many of them became presidents after assassination, and things of that nature. So I think it'd be fun. And it'll be a good learning experience for those, and for me too, because when I do these things, I don't have all this information at the top of my head sometimes. I got to do a little research, so I get a chance to learn, and I'll just share that information. That's really what teaching is all about. You know, it's like you say, oh, you're a teacher, but you're also a lifetime learner. And people who teach have to learn, and sometimes you forget stuff. I mean, I might have taught stuff. I remember giving a presentation on a topic like 15 years ago. It was on the North American Union, and I saw parts of that on a video. I thought, I forgot all that, you know, because if you don't keep stuff fresh in your mind, a lot of facts are going to come and go. But anyway, so the ladies' retreat is come and gone, but we still have the family camp coming up July 14th to the 19th, as well as the annual weekend retreat. And when I come back from Maine, I'll be getting back from Maine Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. I'm heading down to Lexington, Massachusetts, where we're hosting some homeschoolers to do an overnight Patriots Day, which is a holiday in a couple of counties in Massachusetts and I think one county in Maine. But it's to celebrate the battles of Lexington and Concord. And every year they do a reenactment in Lexington Battle Green, as well as the Concord Bridge. And we participate at our place in Lexington. We're just a few blocks away from the battle site. So we're hosting some homeschoolers. We're going to, most of them are going to be camping out on the gigantic living room we have there. And we're going to show the video of Johnny Tremaine. And then we'll catch the Midnight Rider Paul Revere reenactment, walk back to the Lane House, get a few hours sleep, and then take in the Lexington reenactment, and then come back for breakfast. I'll be cooking. In fact, I'm boiling up some home fries right now with potatoes to make some home fries. And they're from Maine, too. Got a good 50-pound bag up in Presque Isle. So looking forward to that, but it's a lot of fun. But again, a lot of running around. It's all good, though, because a lot of young people and adults will be learning a lot about our great and incredible history. So, but I wanted to talk on this show here. I want to talk a little bit about the abortion issue. Now, Roe v. Wade was repealed, thankfully. In fact, I'll never forget when the leak came out, and they never caught the leaker, did they? It's the Supreme Court. You're not supposed to do that, folks. But I guess if it's a leftist thing, you can get away with it. If this was a conservative involved elite, that person would have been outed and probably in jail or destroyed. But when a leftist does it, it's a non-issue. But it was actually May 2nd of 2022 when the Supreme Court decision repealing Roe v. Wade was made known. It wasn't officially released until I think early June. But the, and I was actually about to go on the air on the Rob Schmidt Show, Newsmax, to talk about our Christian lawsuit, a Christian, our successful lawsuit. The Supreme Court had officially announced their decision with our lawsuit on that day. Now, I understand that after they hear a case, they hear oral argument, they usually make a decision on that case within a short time. So if the argument is a, you know, two, I think they usually just hear arguments on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They usually make the decision Thursday or Friday, but they don't always release the decision. Sometimes it's months before they do, and I don't know why. I think some things that require immediate decision, they probably release a whole lot sooner. But with our case, it was you know, it was January when they heard it, January 13th, I think, or 14th. And they didn't release the decision. And sometimes they're strategic. They'll release it the day they adjourn. That way there they can be out of town and not worry about people protesting and in some cases trying to assassinate them, like Chuck Schumer encouraged them, his people to do. And after the Roe v. Wade, they were harassing, they were in the neighborhoods of these justices and you know, trying to harass them, intimidate them, et cetera, et cetera. But thankfully, they stuck to their ground, and the case was the Roe v. Wade was repealed. So what it did is it didn't end abortion. It was a case. I think it was trying to think the case that repealed Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade, which a much you know much bigger. But anyway, it was the decision was that this, they got it wrong in 72, and so now it goes back to the states. The states now determine whether or not you can kill a baby in the womb. Some in some states, nothing changed. The killing goes on. Of course, the left has to make a big issue. Oh, the right wing, they want to deny women's reproductive rights and made a big deal. Reproductive rights are democracy. These rights are enshrined in the Constitution, are being taken away, and women will be forced to have babies. They'll be slaves and all this crazy stuff. Well, the fact is, that's what happened back in the 1800s. Up until many years, there was no laws on abortion. The states did not have any laws. Abortion was happening, but it was, I guess, it was rare. It was something that wasn't made public. It wasn't that people were proud of it. And it wasn't until Dr. Horatio Storer came on the scene. And he was known as the father of gynecology. He was a Boston physician. I think he went to, he was Harvard University trained. And he led the way. He led the crusade to outlaw abortion. And interesting is that he, the American Medical Association was part of that incredible group of people that got abortion to be outlawed. And it was fascinating. One of my ancestors, Nathaniel Bradstreet Shurtleff, who was also a Harvard medical school doctor and later became mayor of Boston, and he was also a historian. He helped Dr. Storer, and they had the help of the also New York Times. They had editorials about how horrible these abortions were, how degrading they were, and they need to be illegal. And these people who performing them should be punished. And in some cases, the women. Some of the laws too against the women who were having these abortions. Now, and within I don't know how many years, but not too many years, abortion was outlawed in all the states. There weren't 50 states then, and as states came online, most of them had laws, or all of them had laws against abortion. Now, the punishment may have varied. In Arizona, which became a state back in the eight, I can't remember the, oh, actually, I think it was 1912. So in 1912, that's when Barry Goldwater, that's because Barry Goldwater was from that state, and I think he was born there before it was a state. And there were some people saying, is he qualified to be president because he was, well, you're born in a U.S. territory, you're a U.S. citizen, whether or not you're born in a state. So anyway, so they had some, I guess it must have been laws in the territory that go back to the 1800s that and the Arizona Supreme Court upheld that law, recently. And so abortion is pretty much proscribed in Arizona. Now, that may not be happening that long. They have a small Republicans. In fact, there's a lot of left-wing Republicans who support abortion too. So don't think it's just all Republicans. But one of the things I want to address before I get into the legal issues of it is a woman's reproductive right. So it's an incredible euphemism they use. Abortion isn't a right, and it's not reproducing. When you reproduce is when you have a baby. You have reproductive rights. You can have all the babies you want. Well, in some cases you can, depending on the health and their situation. But they're talking about abortion. They're talking about ending reproductive health care, is killing a baby. And it's not just, I learned something relatively recent, and I've been a pro-life activist for many years, that most of Western Europe, after 15 weeks, you can't have an abortion. Now, the left is always pointing to Western Europe. Oh, look at these industrialized nations, these modern countries. They have socialized medicine. They have this. They're always pointing. Yeah, they didn't point to Sweden, though, when Sweden didn't lock down its citizens. Isn't that interesting? They didn't, but not they're not pointing to Western Europe when Western Europe has laws on abortion at 15 weeks. After that, you don't have one. It might be a few circumstances where they're allowed, but for the most part. Now, keep in mind, most abortions are before that. And thankfully, these horrible late-term abortions are few and far between. You know, one is too many. But if you corner a Democrat and you ask them, do you support abortion up and even until the baby's born? Most of them won't say, oh, yes, I do. Even if you show them, see, this is a human being, isn't it? If you show them that, they won't. They'll say, it's up to the mother and the doctor. And God, if they sometimes they bring God into the factor, if they claim to have some kind of Christian or Jewish perspective. Well, when you hire a doctor to kill your baby, you're paying that doctor to kill your baby. So, what kind of advice will that abortion doctor give? Well, maybe you should put it up for adoption. Maybe you may have some real guilt after this, as most people do. They don't get over it. They live with it all their lives. So maybe you should reconsider. You can always, there's adoption agencies if you don't have the support system in your family. They also don't tell you that it's not always up to the woman. Sometimes it's the husband. Sometimes it's the father or the mother or the boyfriend that you better kill that baby. I'm not going to support that baby. Don't embarrass, don't disgrace our good name by having a pregnancy out of wedlock. I know that the attitudes have changed somewhat on that. You know, they use the term bastard or bastardess, you know, for a child born out of wedlock. But really, the bastards are the parents when you think about it. The poor child, it's not the child's fault, it's the parents' fault. And thankfully, that's not a stigma that it was 100 plus years ago, and even up to maybe 30 or 40 years ago. But it's not the baby. It's not the baby's fault. The baby is the bastard. It's the parents who should have waited till marriage, and so many cases again. And I don't know what the statistic is. I don't know if there is one. And some people think it's 50% or higher of women who are forced to get an abortion against their will because of pressure from a father, a husband, a boyfriend, a parent. And even peers. So, and even peers, you know, they might say, oh, you don't want to have that baby destroy your life. You want to have a career and this and that. So, it was interesting. Mayor Wu of Boston, the racist Chinese woman who hates white people, and she's elected by self-loathing whites. But anyway, she, a few months ago, there was the anniversary of a case in Boston that happened in the early 90s. I think it was, well, it must have been 93. So, it's the 30th anniversary. Again, a man named Charles Stewart. His wife was killed, was murdered, and he said it was a black man that did it. He made this description of a black man, and because the police at the time had no reason to doubt what he had said, you know, had a dragnet, and they arrested a couple of black guys that fit the description that he gave. Come to find out that it was the husband that killed the baby, and so old Wu, she had to have the two. I think one of them has since passed, but anyway, some family members of the two men who were accused. And I don't know the details of these men or their backgrounds. Not that And she just wanted to commit, cause more racial turmoil and hatred. That's what she does. She wants to put hate. And it was all Democrats. Oh, the white racist power structure in Boston. Well, it was a Democrat mayor, and Democrats ran the city. They're running the city since the 1932, but they're white Democrats, and they were, moderately conservative in those days. So they have, it's okay to hate them. But they never told you the motivation of the murder. Now, why did Charles Stewart murder his wife? And they don't mention that he also murdered their unborn baby. Well, and this they were a nice couple, upper middle class, good looking guy, beautiful lady, everything was, they had good jobs. She got pregnant, and he said, "I want you to have an abortion." And she said, "No." And that's what motivated him to murder both his wife and the unborn baby. And I believe he was charged with murder of the wife and the unborn baby. He committed suicide. So the guilt is on the man who committed the murder of the two and himself. That's the guilt. It isn't some white racist structure. He could have blamed, he could have said, oh, it was he could have said, oh, it was a white guy from South Boston. He was wearing a Scully cap and his name was O'Toole. And I guess that would have been okay. But because he said it was a black guy and, nice progressive liberal, but we know that progressive liberals, when they're cornered, are quite racist. That seems to be my experience anyway. So that's the real reason. It was the woman was murdered by her husband because she wouldn't get an abortion. But that's the factor that the left will never tell you. But the bottom line isn't about women's reproductive rights. It's about population control. That's why they promote abortion. In communist countries, like North Korea and China, communist China, they don't go through any. We one child per household. I think China has modified that a little bit, where you can get permission to have a second. They don't play. They don't say, "Oh, it's a woman's right." No, you have one child, and that's that. And North Korea, I think, is pretty similar. In fact, North Korea. It's interesting that many of our states allow abortions after 24 weeks. 25 weeks, they're in line to communist countries, not Western Europe, that are quasi-communist socialist countries. That's another fact that these pro-choice people don't like to tell you. So back to Arizona, that I just heard a lady from Arizona on a local radio show, and she said that they may end up they have a small Republican majority, and not every Republican is pro-life. In fact, an important fact to point out, and this was kind of motivated me to do my little book on the racist roots of Planned Parenthood. Prescott Bush, Republican, was one of the what was Planned Parenthood's first treasurer, and the two states that had repealed its abortion laws, the first two states, New York and California, both led by Republicans, Nelson Rockefeller and Ronald Reagan at the time. And Reagan, I did have a change of heart, I understand. And it was thanks to Phyllis Schlafly and Dr. Milton Jefferson, both ladies I got a chance to know. One was a friend, Milton Jefferson. Phyllis Schlafly, I met her on several times. So she was, I would say, a friendly acquaintance, but I wouldn't call her a friend. But she was a great lady. So Reagan became pro-life. But he was very much pro-abortion at the time when he was governor of California. In fact, Nelson and the Rockefellers were big funders of the abortion industry. One of the letters I found in the archive was a letter that Margaret Sanger sent to the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation, looking for money to have to create her international Planned Parenthood. And as I pointed out in this presentation I'm giving people on the subject of my book, I'll tell people that nothing, if there's something evil in the United States in the last 100 and 100 plus years, there's a good chance the Rockefellers were involved. The Kinsey Report, the abortion movement, the so-called environmental movement, that's really a way to end, destroy the private property. These are all things that are funded by these big foundations, and the Rockefellers are one of the premier foundations. It's, you know, a lot of people can't get their hands around that the big oil companies are the biggest supporters of the environmental movement, you know, control the opposition, or they'll wait until they get the technology, they control the technology, the alternative things, and then they say, okay, let's do away with fossil fuels. You know, it's always the small, you know, you know the oil man, you know, somebody that has an oil company that delivers fuel, they're the oil man. No, they're the middlemen that make a small amount of money compared to the big corporations, Enron and Chevron and all these other big oil companies. Anyway, so right now, a number of states have had laws that were into once Roe v. Wade was repealed, they came into effect. But many states now, many states, especially the hard blue states, are doubling down on the abortion. And it's even making it easier to kill babies. But again, thankfully, there aren't that many late-term abortion doctors to begin with. And a lot of abortion mills are shutting down all around the country. Some are consolidating, no doubt. But it looks like most of the abortions are now done by these abortion pills. So you take, you know, you take the abortion pill to kill your baby. You take a pill when you want to kill yourself. And Big farmers is get vaxxed, and if you get pregnant, here's a pill for you. And if you find out that life isn't worth living because you've rejected God, you have no, you know, you're living, you're a materialist. You have no reason, no bigger purpose in life. There's no legacy. Just take a few more pills and end that life, and we'll put you in a pit and burn your body, or you know, and who cares? You know, you have no legacy. Your kids hate you. Why would they love you? You brought them into an evil country full of white supremacists. So why would your white children love you? And why would your black parent? Why would you raise me in this horrible white racist culture to be perpetual victims? Why should I love you? Why should I have any, you know, why should I care about my parents? And of course, my last show I did dealt with so-called assisted suicide. But we do have this horrible culture of death, don't we, in this country? You know, suicide, assisted suicide, so-called abortion. And then on top of that, you're not happy with your gender. And so you've got children that are being told that they're really girls or boys or whatever. There's supposed to be so many different genders. And they buy into this lie. And we're supposed to sit back and say, oh, yes, well, if you really think you're a girl, we should go ahead and cater to that. No, this is mental illness and it's being promoted. You know, I tell a story back when I was a young teenager. I used to lived in the Hyde Park section of Boston. My dad didn't drive. My mom didn't drive. So if we wanted to get around, we had to rely on public transportation and or friends who had cars. So I'd get downtown Boston. In those days, it was just you know, it was like a big deal to hopped on a bus and then a trolley and then a subway to get to downtown Boston. And on occasionally, I take a trolley from Mattapan, the section of Boston, to Ashmont Station. And every so often, there would be this guy, same guy. I think he just rode the trolley all day, smoked a pipe. In those days, you could smoke in public places, and nobody would say too much. He would sit there and talk to himself, and he would say, "I'm Jesus Christ. Sorry about that. I wish I had a nice sound studio." All right, folks, here we go. Yeah, I don't have a much of a sound studio, so we're babysitting a dog sitting, and we only have two of our own, but the one we're sitting is a little as a puppy, and he gets excited over things. So anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, we've got about 4.5, 5 minutes left, and what I'd like to do is recommend, and I've done this before, but since we're focusing on the abortion issue, I think one of the most important things, whether or not, I don't think I didn't think I'd live to see Roe v. Wade repealed, but I did. But I don't think I'm going to live to see abortion outlawed in this country. Some states, yes, and that's great. But because of the spiritual depravity of our country, that's really the bottom line. We are a spiritually depraved nation, and that's why we celebrate sodomy and celebrate mental illness. And if you dare oppose it, you are fired, you are canceled, you are proscribed, you are vilified. But I think that will change in time, and let's say it will have to change in time, or we will be destroyed as a country and as a culture. Somebody on Facebook, we got a great little article by Andy Schauffele, how the Pope finally took a stand on the Catholic teaching. It's rough when you commend the Pope for upholding the teachings of the Catholic Church. Well, he has a lot of nerve doing that. Anyway, so he posted the article that he wrote, and someone claiming to be a lesbian with transgender children, called me a hater. And I said, yeah, just see how loving people are when you express your view that you think homosexuality is a sin. You can say, I love the sinner but hate the sin. Oh, that's not good enough. They will hound you, they will fire you. And this person didn't have anything to come back with because they have to acknowledge that it's true. But let me recommend three incredible movies. Now, if you're a filmologist, these three may not be the best movies ever made, but for the point of both educating and the emotional appeal. Let's face it, killing your baby is an emotional thing. No matter how depraved somebody might be, I know that they do still have a little bit of conscience. But there were three movies that came out in the last 6 or 7 years. The first one, Gosnell, America's Biggest Serial Killer, is the story of Kermit Gosnell. The book is even better. It's really hard to, tell it, the whole story in a movie. So the book does a better job. And the second one was Unplanned, the Abby Johnson story, which tells the story of the abortion lady who ran an abortion mill, Abby Johnson, in Texas. And she came out of that. And she now has an organization of former abortion providers, including our friend Julie Wilkinson. And the third one, which is near and dear to me because one of the characters in the movie, historical character, Dr. Milton Jefferson, is depicted in the movie by Stacey Dash, and we just happen to be dog sitting her dog, so we're friends. And it's very interesting how God puts people into our lives. Dr. Jefferson was also a dear friend of ours, and so all these three movies are available on live streaming. You don't have to sit in a movie theater. You don't have to buy the DVD, although you can do that as well. And I recommend them because it's about educating and informing people. So anyway, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for listening to Camp Constitution Radio. And until next week, may God richly bless you.